We're in Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to look at my notes here. And we're on our last part, faithless. And we were looking at the fig tree. So let's read Matthew chapter 21. And I believe I want verse 18. Verse 18. And it says here, "Now in the morning as he turned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Now watch what goes here. We'll develop the rest of this. Watch verse 21. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening. We thank you for this day you've made. We thank you for, Father, just allowing us to meet here, whether it's by virtual service, live streaming, and or, Father, in person. But, Father, we have your word, and we're thankful for it, and we've been studying this little parable about the fig tree. And, Father, we want to learn our last lesson here. And about this fig tree, about having faith, having real faith, and the difference between having real faith and being faithless as a Christian. Be with our services tonight. I want to quickly lift up those that are on our hearts and our mind and our prayer petition, Father, that we pray for on a regular basis. Be with them. Heal those that need to be healed. Touch those that need to be touched. And, Father, strengthen those that need to be strengthened. And Father, be with us this evening as we study your word here in Matthew. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Quickly, while I'm thinking about in prayer, mentioning Pastor Tom, he probably has already posted a statement on Facebook, but his test come back, him and Sister Joyce test come back for COVID-19, it tested negative. So he is negative, so you probably will see him preaching Sunday morning. So he's happy about that, and it was just a light contact, but you still want to make sure. And so they had the test done last Friday and or Saturday, and then they received their test results this morning, and so it was negative. So that's good for him and Sister Joyce, so we'll probably see them Sunday, Lord willing. Back in Matthew chapter 21, we've read this parable again, but here in Matthew, and we've developed a couple more verses, and notice what Jesus began to use the fig tree as his teaching lesson, talking about faith. And he tells them in verse 21, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." There is a lot packed in here. We're going to just unpack the faith part and develop that, because we want to develop our last point, which is faithless. I'm going to ask you right up front tonight, are you faithless as a Christian? Now, we talked about being fruitless and having fruitlessness in our Christian life, and you don't want to be fruitless. God wants us to have fruit. Then we talked about having a falseness about you and not being a real Christian, but being a false type Christian. That is not healthy, and it generally feeds into other areas and other people and other relationships in your life. And so it's not a healthy thing to be fruitless and to be false. And then we're looking tonight at being faithless. I'm going to encourage you tonight strongly from the word, and we'll develop this from another parable right here, right with this, and we're going to develop this and look at our relationship, not only personally, but collectively as a church. And so we're going to get into this. I want you to notice another parable. I want to develop the falseness about it, where it's going to apply to you and to our church. Mark chapter 9. Take your Bibles with me quickly and turn to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to develop this parable here, what happens, what goes on here in this setting. In this setting, basically, if you look at prayers in the Bible, this setting in Mark, we're in the Gospels, understand our context, doctrinally is Jewish, but we're going to extract some spiritual types and pictures for you and I tonight, because we want to feed ourselves on this. But doctrinally, this is all Jewish, and the doctrinally it's going to apply to a Jewish setting here. But notice it will apply to us, the principles here laid down. Mark chapter 9, and I need to move quickly because I have a lot of notes and I don't want to leave you hanging tonight or take you too long into your evening, because I know you guys just have a lot of other stuff to do. The sun is shining, there's grass that needs to be mowed, weed eaten, brush to put away, bushes to trim, you know, you got all the stuff to do. But tonight, just for a few moments, we're going to look into the Word of God and feed ourselves spiritually. So let's go. Let's get some exercise. Mark chapter 9, verses 14. Now watch, 14 through 19, I need to develop. Let's read. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. I want to make sure I'm in the right place here. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, and he says here, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Sidebar to the Bible student, a little bit more into the Bible studying. You're going to run across different types of spirits mentioned in the Bible. Right here, you're going to have a dumb spirit. And you say, well, what is that? If you develop and you look at it, one of the spirits that you'll find in our context of today, in the age, if you please, dispensation that we live in, you're going to have dumb spirits. I personally believe from Scripture, reading Scripture and studying it, is that there's a lot of dumb spirits in church today. Here, this was a young boy who had this dumb spirit, and this man, probably he believed in Christ that could take it out, but he called it a dumb spirit. So he says here, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. There's some distinctive things about what this spirit has done to this young boy. And pineth away, and I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, watch what he says here, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And so we see here that, man, there's a lot going on in this passage, but I want to key in on verse 19 where he says, O faithless generation. You know, you and I, we live in a generation today that is zero, has zero faith in God, zero faith in the Bible, zero faith in the church. And we're going to look at this and see what we can do to remedy. But let's develop this part here now. Verse 19, I want you to slide down and let's notice how he teaches this. Notice with me verse 28 now, Mark chapter 9, 28. Move on. And he says here, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And in reference to this dumb spirit. All right. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, there's a lot here, and I'm going to give you a little portion of it because it goes along with what we're looking at as far as being a faithless Christian. And so here's a portion of it. Let's describe the boy. As you begin to study this chapter, this parable right here, dealing with this dumb spirit and this young boy, the boy pictures. The boy is a picture of the world. It's part careless. It's part hostile. It's deaf. It's dumb. And it's full of misery. That's pretty much describing the world. It's in bondage, in sin, and it's bound. It's being brought to the apostles here, and the apostles, they picture the church, and it's being brought to half-believing apostles, and this is what Christ is laying on them and trying to teach them, like, listen, these come out by prayer and fasting. When you study fasting and prayer, especially fasting in the Bible, and I've got I've been asked this a few times here at this church about fasting. Well, is fasting biblical? Is it scriptural? Is it? He says when you fast, and when Christ teaches about fasting in the Bible, it's when you fast, not if or should. It's when. So we should fast from time to time, but fasting is always linked up with humility and a revealing of sin and revealing of self. And it's a time of purging to get yourself right before God. I remember the passage in the Old Testament where he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, there is a portion there that speaks of the humbling is a fasting. Fasting. He said, fasting from what? You could fast from what some of your favorite stuff that you like. Mine would be food, coffee, sweets, sugar, ice cream, coffee and ice cream. You always know I'm going to bring up coffee and ice cream. And the next thing would be guitars or whatever else I like. But you could fast from, and generally in the Bible, in context, it's going to be food, some portion of food. You read and look at Nineveh. They fasted. The king declared a fast when they repented and turned from their wicked way. Here, Christ brings it up and he said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. There was something here that they were missing. And in verse 19, he says, oh, faithless generation. You want to get victory in your Christian life? Well, one of the ways to get victory in your Christian life is to make sure you have a real faith. You might be packing a false faith. You say, well, how do I know if I got a false faith or a real faith? Well, one of the ways to tell it is when you find yourself in troubles and trials, because they're going to come. God's going to make sure that happens because he's going to try your faith. We're going to develop this tonight. So when that happens, you begin to find out what type of faith you have. And I'm dealing with two basic kinds, the false faith, faithless, and then the real faith. Okay, and we're trying to develop both tonight. But here we have this boy. He's pictured as the world in this parable. And then you have the apostles. They're pictured as the church. Now watch this. And I'm going to read my notes here. It says, a church that is impotent in the face of a great need. This young boy had a dumb spirit. The father was beside himself. The boy definitely was beside himself. He wasn't even himself. And Christ saw this, and the disciples here wasn't able to cast this dumb spirit out. And they didn't know why. And God, the first thing he calls them, yes, he calls them, oh, faithless generation. Now, that's not the only time he uses that portion. Tonight, are you a faithless Christian? You say, well, I'm saved. Yeah, you can be saved, but do you lack faith? That's what we're asking tonight. So as a church, I know even as a church setting, looking at Christendom to this evening for our lesson, the church lacks faith. It's blind. It's like the disciples. They didn't know why they couldn't cast this dumb spirit out. And I'll show you a verse of scripture to help prove that. Back this up. So we're looking here. You say, well, before we leave Mark and go to Revelations and look at the church, what would be the answer? Well, there's an answer. And he says, by prayer and fasting. He says, they come forth nothing but by prayer and fasting in verse 29. Prayer and fasting is the church seeing its impotence. The church needs to and must be willing to see its impotence and seeing its sin and ignorance and unbelief standing in the way, not being the vehicle God wants them to be. How about you? Well, let's look at it on a personal level. Are you able, not only able, but are you willing to see your impotence as a Christian? You lack power. You lack faith. You lack spiritual insight in your life. And it begins to affect not only you, but the people that you're around, the relationships you have, especially when it is in the context of a collective body, the body of Christ, the church. And this is why you see churches are so weak spiritually. You get somebody comes in, preach a straight message, straight forth. You're like, man, that guy was hard. It wasn't hard. He was down simple, plain things, but yet it seems so hard and tough and difficult for the average Christian to grasp nowadays. Why is that? Why it is because we're a faithless generation. you and I. And so we need to understand that we're impotent, and we need to see that, and we need to be willing to humble ourselves and to work on having real faith in our Christian life. Are you faithless this evening? So let's develop this. So the answer is prayer and fasting here, and being able to humble yourself and get yourself right before God. And so we can be the vehicle God wants us to be. The church has failed to veil itself of its weapons. We have weapons, you and I, according to Ephesians chapter 6. He says, put on the whole armor of God. It's a spiritual battle that we're on and in. And this is kind of the context we're in tonight. Spiritually looking at this, we have a spiritual struggle that you and I have every day. Now, the choice is ours whether we engage and resist the temptation, or whether we embrace it and move on. And so this can be a challenge and a battle. And we're talking about our faithlessness tonight. So the church is not really able to unveil the weapons that they have. They don't want to grasp it. I want to show you a verse out of Revelations. Yes, we're going to turn a little bit more tonight, but we need to finish and wrap this series up. So Revelations chapter 3, I want verse 17. I want to show the state of the church in the latter days. You and I tonight, if this Bible is true, are living in the last days. And this is the last church that is mentioned, that John mentions in Revelations. Revelations chapter 3, read with me in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, watch it, and blind and naked. The church is impotent. The church is lacking power because it lacks a prayer life. The church as a whole is lacking power because it doesn't have faith. It is a faith, it's a faithless church. And it's this lesson here tonight would really strengthen us if we take this in and understand that we can learn from this. Are we a faithless type of Christian tonight? And so here as we look at this, I want to move from a faithless to a real faith. And so to look at this scripturally, we're going to look at some people in the Bible. In the world, let me say this first, the world is looking at the church today and saying, do something. There's people looking for the answer. And you say, well, I just can't find him. We can't find him because we're blind, we're poor, we're wretched, and we're naked spiritually. This is what John wrote as in this Laodicean church. This is right where they're at, right where they're at. In verse 18 in Revelations, before we move from there, watch what he says here and notice the parallel with faith. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Don't forget that little phrase, because we're going to show another verse to end this lesson tonight about being tried in the fire. And he says here that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thou mayest, that thou shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See what he's talking about? He's talking about faith, and I'm going to show you the verse to go with this. But he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire. Christians today, we like easy street. Oh, we have a little difficulty come our way. Take the COVID-19. We've been using that for a little picture in our lesson here. You take that and you disrupt somebody's little system or, if you please, schedule, and you have all kinds of problems. People are not able to deal with this, let alone Christians. It's like we can't function. We're struggling. Why? It's because we're a faithless generation. And here, Scripture is counseling us to buy of God gold tried in a fire. We don't want the fire. We don't want to be refined. We want to be left alone. We just want the fire insurance and that's it. Just the basics. Because we know, well, I get to go to heaven and that's all I need. Listen, this is why it was a three-part series. Fruitless. If you're faithless, I know you don't have any fruit. If you're faithless, I know there's a falseness about you. And so, in a falseness about me and any other Christian. So tonight, as we key in on this faithless, let's look at some real faith. But the world, make no mistake, the world is asking the church, do something. And why can't these come out? Why can't we get victory? It's because we're a faithless generation. Now let's look at some real faith. Now looking back in the Bible, we can go all the way back to the beginning. Look at Noah. We can start with Noah. Noah, he found grace in the eyes of God, but he had faith and he moved with fear and he built an ark. And God spared him and his family, and he had faith in God. You look at another man who had real faith was Abraham. The Bible even speaks of these men in Hebrews chapter 11, and they think, and there's a lot of them there. We don't have time to get to all of them tonight, but Abraham is one who had real faith in his God. And so we see Job, he had real faith in God. And we see the three Hebrew children. I was sharing this with my father earlier this week, and he said, hey, you know, the three Hebrew children, those guys faced fire. They were tried in fire. I thought, wow, that's good. That's a good illustration. And they had faith. They even said, hey, look, God's going to deliver us, but if he doesn't deliver us, we're not careful to answer thee. That means we're not tiptoeing around this answer. Throw us in the fire. And so they did. That's where they went. And so you see their faith tried, and God delivered them. God delivered Job. God delivered Abraham, and God delivered Noah. God will deliver you tonight if you just stand up like he said here when we looked in Matthew 21. He says, this kind cometh out by prayer and fasting. What is that? That's humbling ourselves, getting ourselves right before God. God can do mighty things in your life and in our church if we would exercise real faith. So we're going to pick one of these men quickly tonight, and I want to look at Job. Let's go over to Job. I want to look at a verse here that he says, Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13, and while I'm turning, I'm going to get a drink of this water. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Now watch what Job says here in verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He's speaking of God here. Listen, even if God slays me, I'm still going to trust him. This is what Job was saying. Is your faith tonight real when problems come into your life? Is your faith real when the problems come into your life? You say, well, man, I begin to fall apart. I fall into a million pieces. You need to look upon your faith because you could have a faithless Christian life. And I want to expose that tonight. I want to lay some light from the Word of God on it. And here's what I would love. I'd like for that switch to click on in the spiritual part of your heart and say, I need to develop the faith that is in me. That's one of the things that Christ in the Bible and the New Testament speaks of the Christian to do, to develop and strengthen their faith. And so here, God wants you to know what kind of faith you have. God does. He didn't say, well, okay, you're saved and that's it. Now, he wants to know what kind of faith you have, what's in your heart. And so sometimes our faith runs out in times of trouble. Does your faith run out in times of trouble? Sometimes, I know mine has. And so you say, well, why would God do that to a Christian? Well, there's a number of reasons why, what the Bible says. But the simple thing of it, he wants to develop and strengthen your faith. He wants to try that faith, just like we just read in Revelations. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in a fire. That gold, your faith is likened unto gold. And so here Job had this happen to him. Job lost everything. Job lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his cattle, his health. He lost everything, and yet he says, I'm still going to trust him. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He was steadfast. It was funny. Your faith will be tried when troubles come into your life. That's when your faith is going to be tried. You know, it's something here. Let me share with you now this verse in Peter. You say, man, you're running all over the place. Well, we can do it. We can do it. Take your Bible. Turn to 1 Peter. I want 1 Peter chapter 1. That's easy to find. 1 Peter's down around closer to Revelation. It's not too close. You got the three Johns and Jude, but you got Peter here. 1 Peter chapter 1, notice with me in verses 5 through 7. Now, we're going to develop this faith part. Remember, Revelation says, he counseled of us to buy of him gold tried in a fire, so we could anoint ourselves, our blindness with eye salve, so we could be clothed with the righteousness of the Spirit of God on us, so we wouldn't be naked. The church is destitute tonight. The church is a faithless church as I look at it. I'm a young man. I know I live in 2020, and I haven't seen a whole lot. There's been people that are definitely older than me that have seen a whole lot and been through a whole lot and got a lot of experience. And so I say all that to say this. I'm able to see the state of the church tonight, looking at it through the lens of Scripture, that it is destitute, it is blind, it's wretched, it's poor, and it's naked. It is a faithless church that we see today. You say, well, what would be proof of that? Look at our world. Look at the political platform. Look at the religious platform. Look at the economic platform. Look at the moral platform. I can go through a whole list of things. It's decaying. It's eroding before our very eyes. We talked about this 20 years ago. We talked about this 15 years ago. Now we're living it. We're living this right in our society, right in rural Indiana. I'm telling you, the church today is a faithless church. That's why we don't see the mighty hand of God working in our midst. Just tidbits here and there. And it's sad. Let's read this verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Watch as he develops his context, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Watch it. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. Now watch where the praise and honor goes. And glory, where does the glory go in honor and praise? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Watch this, verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow, you say, what is going on there? I'll tell you what's going on. Peter was giving us a tidbit in light in parallel with the verse in Revelations and looking at Matthew, and he knew the Gospels better than anybody here in the Old Testament to boot, looking at Job. Look, our faith needs to be tried. It's going to have to go through a purging if it's real faith. If it's a false faith, it won't make it. It'll burn up. It'll burn right up. Job's faith was not in his wealth. Tonight, if your faith is in your wealth, your job, your career, it's the wrong kind of faith. And if it is real faith, it's in the wrong place. All right, Job, it wasn't in his health. Because that's one of the things that Satan took his health. You know, God might allow your health to go as a Christian. You might be in a battle right now for your life, dealing with your health. You say, what is it? Your faith is going to be tried. It's going to see whether it comes out pure or whether it doesn't come out pure. God wants it to grow, and he will allow things to enter your life. What about your health? Job's faith was not in his health. I'll tell you something else that Job's faith wasn't in. His faith wasn't in his friends. I can tell you that by just reading the book of Job. His faith wasn't in his friends. It definitely wasn't in his friends. Tonight, if your faith is in your friends, your faith is in the wrong place. And it is going to be a false faith. It's going to let you down because your friends are going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to not do something that you think they should be doing or do something that you know they shouldn't be doing. They're going to disappoint you, and they're going to let you down. And don't keep your faith or have your faith in your friends. I'll tell you where Job's faith was at. Job's faith was in his God. Job's faith was in his God. It kind of goes something like this. I might be going down for the count, but I'm going down with God. That's how Job's mind and heart and attitude was towards the things that entered his life swiftly. And I know Satan was behind it, but God allowed it to see. And he says, hast thou considered my servant Job? You know, your name might be there instead of Job's tonight. God might be looking at Satan, and Satan's looking around at what he can devour and accuse before God. He says he constantly accuses the brethren before God, according to Scripture. And so God might have your name in there instead of Job. But Job, he said, look, if I'm going down, if I'm really going down, I'm going down with God. And so tonight, if you're facing a life challenge, a life struggle that could take your life, you need to know in your heart and in your mind that you are going down with God. You're going to heaven with God. I'm talking about a real faith, not faithless Christian, but a real faith that you and I need to get through this world and this life. And so looking at these and developing this from these parables, looking at this fig tree, are you a faithless Christian tonight? If you struggle with this, this is something that you need to take very seriously and to quickly remedy. Because if you allow it to go on, the Holy Spirit gets weaker and weaker in dealing with you in that area. He becomes quenched or grieved. And then you think, well, I'm fine. Everything's okay. When everything's not okay and you have no faith, you have a falseness about you, and you definitely are not bearing fruit. And so as we conclude this, John chapter 20, verse 27, I want to leave you with this verse. He says, then saith he to Thomas. This is Christ dealing with Thomas. Remember, Thomas was the doubter. Thomas says, look, unless I see, I put my hands in his palms and I put my hands in his side, I'm not going to believe. And so Christ addresses this in John chapter 20, verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And he says, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Tonight, I want to leave you with that in conclusion. Are you a faithless this evening? I'm going to leave you with, don't be a faithless Christian, but be a believing Christian and allow God to develop and strengthen the faith in your life. Lessons from a fig tree. Are you fruitful tonight? Some of you Christians I know personally, you lack fruit. I'm being honest with you, cantered. You can't really touch me. I'm kind of here in my office or live stream. I see you Wednesday night if you show up, or Sunday. But you're fruitless. You're going about your Christian life and you don't have any fruit. You think you do, but when people look at you in an honest third-party view, you're fruitless tonight. You need some fruit. You say, well, how do I develop that? Get in the ministry. Start doing something for God. Put your pettiness aside. I don't care if it's pettiness against another brother or sister. I don't care if it's pettiness against the pastor or the assistant pastor or the deacon or the deacons. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's against this world or another family member. It doesn't matter. You need some fruit in your life or you're going to go down. You're going to be hewn down without any fruit on your Christian life. Your family's going to go into a million pieces because you lack spiritual fruit in your life. Also, there is a falseness. You don't have fruit, there's a falseness about you. You say, how can you tell there's falseness? When trials come, when you need to stand up, you don't stand up. When you need to stand for what's right, when you need to do what's right, it's not done. It's lacked. There's a lackingness there. There's a falseness in your life. What will happen is you will be hewn down as a Christian. That's the end. That's what will happen. You say, when will God do that? I don't know God's timetable, but I know as what he lays out in his scripture. And then lastly tonight, faithless. There's some of you that struggle with faith, real faith, not false faith. Let me encourage you as a brother and a friend in Christ. I love you. I wouldn't even be here tonight. I could be sitting at the house watching TV, drinking coffee and eating ice cream. But I'm here tonight, and I wanted to finish up this lesson. Don't be a faithless Christian. God bless you. We're going to pray real quick, and we'll be done. Hopefully to see you Sunday morning for Mother's Day. Don't forget about our mothers. We have some great mothers. And so, Lord willing, the pastor will be preaching and bringing that message, and we'll have adult Sunday school as usual at 10 o'clock and the regular service at 11 to 12. So we appreciate your attendance. Thank you for sticking with this little short series on lessons from a fig tree. Let's pray and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we bow before you again tonight. I thank you for those that have listened and tuned in. Maybe some have already turned me off. And Father, that'll be okay. I know it's recorded, and I know what was said was from your word. I love the people that are listening. I love your word, especially, most importantly. And Father, this applies to me. Father, I want more fruit in my life. I want less falseness in my life as a Christian. And Father, I know my faith needs to be strengthened. It needs working on. And Father, I ask that you would have your will and your way in our lives and in our church so we can grow. We can grow, Father, this year in 2020. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen.